This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and we're going to give you something to mull over today right off the bat.
It's morning again in America. And under the leadership of President Reagan, our country is prouder and stronger and better. Why would we ever want to return to where we were less than four short years ago?
Ronald Reagan's patriotic campaign bugle call from 1984, Morning in America, a rebirth from the post-Vietnam 1970s stalled misery. It's a moment the GOP is still trying to reclaim a generation later. But perhaps the Democrats have an argument for, if not a morning, a solid afternoon. It's the Obama afternoon in America.
It's
Well, maybe it's not so lazy, Ms. Streisand. Look at the numbers. Solid economic growth in 2014, a long upward trend in jobs. Right around 6 million more men and women are back at work since the peak of the recession in 2009, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Millennials are poised to drive a housing boom over the next half decade. Are we the economic envy of the world without even trying in 2015?
Skyrockets in flight.
Dreadful song from the 70s about taking extra long coffee breaks, I guess. But all cheesy songs aside, perhaps this is a relevant notion about this country for the 21st century. Afternoon in America. We are actually shamelessly ripping off a phrase we found irresistible from Edward Luce, U.S. columnist for the Financial Times. Welcome back, Edward.
Thanks for having me, John.
Afternoon in America. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think the big difference between the recovery now in 2015 and the recovery that we saw in the morning in America phase of the mid-1980s is that this has been very slow in coming. It's been a very different kind of recession. We're now in the sixth year of growth. The recovery officially began in mid-2009, if you'll remember. So we're almost 6 years into that. And it's only been about 2% a year, which is way, way below the historic average of the kind of growth rates America has when it comes out of a recession. But it's finally beginning to pick up a little bit of speed. We saw 5% growth in the third quarter of 2014. We're going to get the fourth quarter numbers later this month. But it's clearly picking up at a point where the Eurozone and Japan, the other big sort of parts of the wealthy developed world, are actually slowing down. They'd both be lucky, Japan and the EU, be lucky to get 1% in 2015, and they only got about 1% in 2014. So we are beginning to see a real divergence, but it's mid-afternoon in America rather than morning in America, because this is pretty bad by traditional U.S. recovery standards. It just happens to be good relative to everybody else today.
Is part of your argument that the U.S. needs to recognize more what's going on here that's good, or is it more like the rest of the world envying America? I remember when France was so unbelievably envious of the Reagan job creation in the mid-'80s, it really was, you know, never before had France used America as a model, and all of a sudden Ronald Reagan was a hero over there. Are you seeing that?
Well, I'd look at it two ways. First way is yes. France has unemployment of above 11%, and America's is now below 6%, and it's probably going to keep dropping. At the end of this week, we'll have the job numbers for December. I'd expect, you know, roughly 250,000 more jobs to have been created last month, as we've seen through most of the last two, 3 years. France just isn't creating any kind of job, and there's a whole generation, the millennial generation, that are, as I've put it, withering on the vine in France, in Spain, in Italy, that have no real chance of getting employment. But that shouldn't blind us to the fact that the kinds of jobs being created in the US are, again, very, very low grade compared to what we're used to here in previous cycles. These are not well-paying jobs. They're not, for the most part, secure jobs. The benefits, the health and pension benefits that you're used to with traditional middle-class jobs are increasingly a thing of the past. And so, you know, of course, half a loaf is better than no loaf at all. And the Eurozone, many of the Eurozone countries really have no loaf. But it's still a very weak, a very anemic recovery by American standards. And most of the middle class in this country are still not really seeing any of the benefits of it.
Well, I'm thrilled that you brought up millennials over in Spain, where the outlook is extraordinarily bleak and has been for quite some time. Would you say the millennials in the United States, who are looking at a much, you know, brighter future, albeit with some serious caveats that you've mentioned there, are they closer to a real chance for prosperity in America, or are they looking at just a kind of McDonald's retail level of opportunities in this generation here in the United States? I did say they're poised to really drive the housing market here in the U.S. over the next 5 years.
Well, we hope so. But if you remember from the last sort of business cycle, 2002 to 2007, there was an increase in middle-income consumption, including new graduates in that period. But it was almost all through debt rather than rising incomes. It was almost all through cheap and easy credit, including for the housing boom. And we're seeing something equivalent, not nearly on the same scale as the subprime crisis of 2006, but we're seeing something equivalent going on now, which is there's a lot of easy credit now being pushed belatedly into the mortgage market. There's a lot of pent-up demand because millennials in the last 6-7 years have been, you know, postponing what previous generations would already have done, getting married, you know, buying their first home. And so there's a lot of slack there that could generate a lot more economic activity in the next year or two if millennials feel confident enough to really break out and move out of their parental basements or wherever they are. Yet there is a real question as to what is going to be funding that. Is it going to be secure confidence in their own future earnings potential, or is it going to be just a little bit of sense of that the credit conditions are easing and that the time has come to move out of that basement because it is easier to get a mortgage? And I think the jury is out on that. I do think that there are structural problems with the labor market in the U.S. that it shares with the EU, with other parts of the developed world, that it is increasingly difficult to generate large-scale number of secure jobs with rising incomes for most of the labor market. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's going to go away. This is a story about globalization. It's a story about the impact of automation and technology and even artificial intelligence on work. And it is more and more difficult, even for graduates, even for the brightest millennials, to get the kinds of jobs that, you know, they might have been expected to get 10 years ago.
Ed, I'm wondering if there's a psychological component to this here. The Ronald Reagan Morning in America notion is remembered as an economic milestone, but a lot of the real growth took place in the 90s, not in the 80s, if we look back at the numbers. Do you think that there's a sort of malaise of Afghanistan and Iraq in the United States that makes it much more difficult for us to smile a little bit over here on this side of the Atlantic?
Yes, I do think there's a little bit of that. There's a sort of missing animal spirits, you know, that does kindle something. It's hard to measure, but it does kindle economic activity. I do think the dramatic fall in global crude oil prices in the last 6 months, you know, it's basically halved to around $50 a barrel. And that's brought down, you know, gas pump prices here to whatever, $2.50 a gallon. I do think that has injected cash into middle-income pockets that wasn't there before, and consumers are spending it. Now, if that can be sustained, if the oil price stays low, if other sort of income boosts can come in, then you can get a virtuous cycle going here, whereby the more consumers spend, the more goods are produced, the more employers need to hire people to produce those goods, and so forth. And you could see in 2015, this is looking at the sort of positive scenario, growth being even higher than it was in 2014. You could see it at 3%, 3% plus if we get that kind of consumer confidence. And I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, it's quite possible. I think that, consumer confidence is a very, very difficult thing to predict. But right now it is on the rise. And that sort of sense of pessimism that's been so deeply bred into Americans in the last 10, 15 years, and particularly into the millennials, may be on the retreat. I hope that's the case. But as I say, the jury is still out.
I want to make a run at your intriguing metaphor here one more time before we go. Would you say this is a mid-afternoon in America in the winter, where the sun is low in the sky and very close to going down? Or is it a summer afternoon where we've got a little time?
That's a very good question. A lot depends on how unemployment is measured. Right now, it's 5.8%. If it goes down to 5% during the course of this year, traditionally, what the Fed would have done is it would have seen that as a sign of overheating. And it would then raise interest rates to try and contain inflation. However, this is a very different sort of economic scenario we're in today, where over the last few years, millions of Americans have stopped looking for work, have dropped out of the labor force, not just millennials, but people retiring early, women who haven't gone into the labor force who might otherwise have done so. The big question, I think, over the U.S. economy and that the Fed, that Janet Yellen will be looking at, is will the so-called labor force participation rate start to improve? And if it does start to improve, if these discouraged former workers start looking for work again, then this could be mid-afternoon in the summer. We could have several more years of expansion without the Fed putting on the brakes. If, however, they remain discouraged and that this is a sort of permanent structural change, a Europeanization, if you like, of the American labor force, then this is mid-afternoon in winter. And the evening is sooner than we might hope. I have to say I'm agnostic on this subject, but it's kind of where it's at. If you're Janet Yellen, this is what you're debating with yourself. This is what you're trying, the question you're trying to answer.
Edward Luce, U.S. columnist for the Financial Times, causing us to think about, is it mid-afternoon in America, and what does that mean? Edward, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.